Hi, everyone. It's Rich Sheffrin, and I have a really special guest, and I'm so excited about this because this guy proves everything that you've read about in The Doctrine Part 2 about media being social and being human, and that what happens when you become a maven and the success that you can have in any industry, because he did it in an industry that, like, I would have never thought you could do it in. And so his name is Gary Vaynerchuk. I'm really excited that he's on the call with me, and I know that people are going to get immense value out of it. So I just wanted to say welcome, Gary.
Well, thank you so much. I'm really honored to be here. I appreciate it.
Oh, very cool. I mean, I'm just like, this is an exciting day for me to have you on the phone. All right, so I know that probably most of my listeners that are going to be watching this, or listening to this rather, they don't really know who you are, and they haven't, you know, I would assume that they're just not a lot of wine drinkers. So why don't you go and just, like, you know, give us the, like, you know, the short story of how you got to where you are today. From, you know, from the basics, like, you know, what you did, where, you know, family business, like the whole thing, so that people really get a sense and they get to know you better.
Well, I think the most exciting part is that most of the people listening don't know who I am, and I think that's one thing that drives me every day. I mean, the excitement to know how many people are out there and how much success I've already had, but how much opportunity there still is. So I'm really appreciative to be here, and really what it's just a really interesting story of how Wine Library TV evolved, you know, from basically a crossroads in my career. You know, I built up my family business from a small liquor store to a very national player, really at the backbone of winelibrary.com, which I launched in 1997. And things were going great, and I grew it from an 8-person operation to a 100-person operation, and sales went, you know, from a couple million, 3-4 million to, you know, over 40, 50 million. I mean, big, big, big things. And I wasn't happy. And it was because I felt like there was something more out there, and I was following what was going on, and I realized things were changing. The days of, you know, just saying, hey, 95 points Robert Parker or Wine Spectator and selling boatloads of wine just didn't seem right. It didn't seem like that's where things were going. And I felt like I had something to share. And I think it came, you know, coming from a very good place of wanting to share information with people, I think is a major, major opportunity. And so basically, I stopped being, you know, director of operations, the backbone of this operation, this large company that I owned with my dad, and I basically sat in front of a camera and started tasting 4 wines a day and just started hoping that people would watch, of course, knowing that there would be a lot of work that I had to do. So what I did, and what I think everybody who's listening to this is, no matter what your niche area of expertise is, you need to desperately become part of the community. Join the conversation, as I think some people will understand. You need to be part of the, you know, the groups and the people that are communicating online on your subject matter. And what you need to do is, when you get involved in these blog posts or these chat rooms or these content-driven sites, you need to make sure you're coming from a place of content, not a place of marketing. You don't go on there and say, hey, I'm Gary Vaynerchuk, go to winelibrarytv.com, I know everything. You go in there and you answer a question about a Bordeaux or about a Cabernet. And by being part of the community instead of selling to the community, I think that is a dramatically important step into success in being a maven or a content provider.
Right.
So,
and keep going. No, go ahead.
I think there were some crossroads. You know, I think one thing people don't realize, you know, now, because I've been on Conan O'Brien and Nightline and Time Magazine and the front page of the Wall Street Journal, everybody thinks everything happens overnight. You know, I went 6, 7, 8, 9 months getting 5, 6 comments, 10 comments per episode, really seeing very little explosion of growth. You know, some good love from the blog sphere because they get it. But obviously, you know, the numbers in 2006 for the blog sphere are different than they even are now in late 2007. And so, you know, it was a lot of work and a lot of hustle. And more importantly, you know, if you're putting out great content, you will be found. New York Magazine found me, wrote a little piece that led to Time Magazine, which is obviously a major national publication. All of a sudden, I started seeing thousands and thousands of more people watching the Thunder Show, as I like to call it. what basically started happening from there was television, you know, Conan O'Brien and Ellen DeGeneres. And so I think that people need to realize that if you're putting out great content, you need to stick with it. And one big factor that I think people make a huge mistake on is repetition. If you're going to get into being a maven, and it's whether it's video blogging, written word, you need to be out there early and often. I do Wine Library TV 5 days a week, every week. And if I'm traveling, like right now, I'm calling from L.A., I taped 3 episodes yesterday for Thursday and Friday, so including the show that went up on Wednesday. You've got to give your audience what they want. They need to know that you're going to be there, because if you're scattered and you're putting out content randomly, they will not feel that, and they will go in a different direction.
You know, and that's a really great point, because actually, like, my experience – well, my experience in the information business is, yeah, that the easiest way to get branded is to be prolific. And my experience in the retail business was, is that, like, when you have – if the store is the same week, you know, after week, then customers have less of a reason to come in. If they come in and it's the same store that they were in 3 weeks ago, they don't feel the need to be there in 3 weeks from now. But if they come in and the store is completely different, or it's all, like, you know, a lot of different things have come in, then all of a sudden it's like, damn, like, I got to come back here more frequently. And so it's that point that, like, by being, I guess, early and often, you're giving people a really strong reason to keep coming back, because they know that there's going to be there something there for them.
Bring it back to basics. If you're, you know, boys and girls, you know, if you wear the same clothes and you have the same haircut and you wear the same outfit every single day, you're not going to attract the attention of the people that see you all the time, let's say in high school. So, you know, it's a really basic fundamental, which is that you need to be fresh and current. I mean, you know, and no matter what you do, no matter how you do it, whatever your content is and whatever you're providing, whether it's a service or a retail product or information or content, you need to make it as fresh and as current as you possibly – I mean, you need to bleed out of your eyes to make sure that you're providing that kind of service.
Wow. Okay. And you said a bunch of different things, actually, that I wanted to focus in on, because one is about, like, you know, about the amount of effort that went in and the lack of results for quite a long period of time. Like, how – What kept driving you? Like, where did that confidence come from that you knew that eventually it would pay off?
You know, you've got to believe in what you're doing. If let's say I was chasing a dream. Let's say I wanted to be Michael Arrington from TechCrunch, right, or if I wanted to be Kevin Rose from Dig, or if I wanted to be, oh, I don't know, Lance Armstrong and riding a bike. Let's take it outside of the realm. That would have not happened, because 3, 4, 5, 6 months into it, I would have given up, because it wasn't my internal dream or belief or skill set. You know, I was chasing something else that has been done before and trying to say, oh, wow, I should do something like that, or that's worked, or, you know, oh, I want to be the next Facebook or MySpace. Well, if it's not your internal thought, if it's something you're chasing, you will always chase it. The reason I never had to give up or never was concerned was this was my own internal process, something that I knew that I was the most knowledgeable person about wine that could also resonate on video, make it fun, make it approachable, make sense of it, yet appeal to people that knew a crap load about wine and or little to nothing. I knew that. I knew that in my heart and my soul and everything that I oozed, and I knew with that being said that it was only a matter of time before people would realize that, before I made the right connection. And, you know, it's not just putting out the show. You know, then I would go to every tech event in New York City I could go to, because I never knew if I would bump into somebody on a networking opportunity that would then give me my opening or my opportunity. It is a 24/7, 365 hustle 2.0 mentality to win in your genre, and it better be something that you are the best or very close to the best in that category, or it's just not going to happen.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And the, you know, you said that you are extremely knowledgeable about wine. Now, were you always extremely knowledgeable about wine, or was it like a concerted effort? And if it was a concerted effort, how long did it take you to really, you know, feel like, you know what, I know more than the majority of people?
I'm very lucky. I grew up in a liquor store family, and, you know, I hated the liquor store. I had a big baseball card business, but my dad made me work in a store, being first-generation immigrant. You know, I was born in Belarus, the former Soviet Union. So when you're 15, you go into the family business if you got anything. So I made ice and all this other stuff, and it was the worst couple years of my life. But as I got older and I realized there was no getting out of working in the family business at that age in high school, I started reading the Wine Spectator, and I caught interest because wines were rated and people collected wine, and that kind of made a connection to what I was passionate about, which was baseball cards and sports memorabilia at the time. So basically from the age 17 on, I started studying wine very heavily, and by the time I was old enough to drink, on book knowledge, I was way, way up there. So I'm very fortunate to have a broad and long career and knowledge base in wine. However, I want you to know something. I really do believe that I would be as successful if I did a video blog about the New York Jets, something else I know an obscene amount about. It is far more niche. It seems like it's a far less interesting demo from a business standpoint. But when you are the king of your domain, no matter how large or small that domain is, you are going to win. Right now, you may have a lawyer. I cannot believe that there is not a famous lawyer video blogger.
Yes.
I cannot believe that. It blows my mind. It blows my mind that there is not a very famous sports nutritionist video blogger in today's world. It drives me nuts that there is not a fruit expert video blogger or a sushi expert or somebody that knows how to raise kids. There's a billion opportunities out there that are not being covered. Because right now, folks listening to this, 95% of the video bloggers that mean anything all talk about the same darn thing, technology.
Right.
I mean, I'm really one of the only people that has mainstream success that is in a niche category. There's not a cigar aficionado. There is not a rum aficionado. There's not a sports trainer. There's not a gardener. I mean, there is just really not many really big-time video bloggers in every niche across. So if you're the best guy in your law firm in contracts, instead of waiting 8 to 10 years to become a partner, start video blogging about what you know. Give away that content for free. It will come back to you in spades 800 times over.
I agree, and that's like been – I mean, I built my whole business around free content, as you did. But what's interesting is that, like – and I'd really like you to talk about this because, you know, I do it a very different way than you do it. And I think that is really about, like, who we are as people and what
100%.
Our inherent strengths are. And actually, like, in my coaching programs, one of the things I do early with all the clients is that they actually have to determine – what their strengths are so that they then can leverage it for a competitive advantage. So like where if you were trying to compete with Wine Spectator and you're not a good writer and you're not really able to clearly articulate, you know, through the written word, then it's going to be, no matter how much you know about wine, it's not going to matter because like the medium isn't suited to what your strengths are. So
I'm so glad you brought this up because I'm sitting here and thinking about all the great people that are listening to this right now. And somebody might say, great, Gary, because you're really over the top and you're excitable guy and you're outgoing. Well, I'm much more shy and I'm self-conscious about the way I look on video. Listen, even though I believe video is the best platform today, I am far from against somebody who feels that they're a great speaker but don't want to be seen doing an audio podcast as their business of preference. Or if you think you're an articulate writer, let's be honest, I mean, you know this, Rich, most of the people that are really making some money blogging and building brand are actually just blogging, just writing.
Right.
So it really depends. I mean, you are 1,000,000,000%. And listen, I mean, I really do believe that if I did my subject matter on technology, if I did a blog on technology, which I know a lot about, Web 2.0 and people are looking for experts, or if I did it on Facebook, which I know inside out, or if I did it about sport or about building a family business, life coaching, there's about 7 to 10 things that I could do video blogging that would probably financially and image and brand building, I would be in a bigger place today than if I did wine. But fundamentally, wine is what I'm most passionate about, what I felt I had an upper edge on knowledge about, especially in comparison to the rest of the world and in comparison to what was being put out there. There was a voice that was not being heard in the wine industry. I felt like I could fill that. I filled it. That voice in sport, well, Bill Simmons does that for ESPN, and there's other varieties. So there would be other people in my genre, in my competition mold. So you may be good at 3 or 4 things. Please sit down and analyze where you feel, A, you're most passionate about. Even if that's the most competitive genre, do it, because that's what you're going to win. When you really believe it, when it goes through your blood, you're going to win every time, because even if you're not seeing the middle success, your heart and soul is going to be happy, and that is going to push you through to the point when you will start seeing success.
Yeah, and it resonates through what you do because, you know, actually, I don't even consider myself a good writer, even though, like, you know, my reports get downloaded hundreds of thousands of times. What it really is all about for me is when I write, my writing is like a conversation, and
that's
people
right.
tell me all the time that, like, my writing – they feel like I'm sitting there talking to them because I'm a much better talker than I am a writer. But so I just write whatever I would have said, And
I get it. I get 700 to 1,000 fan emails a day, and over 20% of them say, I feel like you and I are chilling in my apartment, or we're hanging out. And you know, people want to be comfortable. People want to be talked to, not down to.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, I think if you follow your heart, and back it up with a whole lot of work, and I mean a lot of work, then there is a real opportunity unlike ever before. I mean, listen, I thought I was this guy 10 years ago and felt that I could be America's wine guy, but guess what? I lived in New Jersey, not in L.A., and didn't stumble across producers, writers, MTV people all the time, right? Well, now in today's world, I made my brand by putting it out there myself. What people need to realize is that we are in a golden era, a gold rush of media where you can create your own brand. You can be the person that fundamentally builds your brand from scratch. You're the marketing, you're the platform, you're the content, you're the king of your domain, and you will be found if you are good. Simple as that.
Yeah, I mean, one of the messages of the doc in part two is that while there's never been more competition for the attention of people, there's also never been a time when the barriers to getting that attention have been easier. You know,
I love this time because you know what now happens? The cream rises to the top.
That's right.
Everything has been now, no question, a billion people can do the same thing, but guess what? The person that's the best of the billion is going to win. This is Americana at its finest. The barriers have been broken down. There's not some stuffy executive who canceled Gilligan Island making the decision anymore. You know?
Right.
This is now, the world is making the decision. The world, the Web 2.0 world has given you 50, 100 solid platforms to use to get there, and now it just comes down to, are you the king of your domain? And what I think people need to do is bring it to the smallest core level. I knew a lot about every wine, but if I was only a California wine expert, that's what the video blog would have been.
Yeah, no, and that's a great point.
And so if you're a lawyer, great, and you want to do a lawyer video blog, but boy, if you're really good at divorce cases, I'd rather see you do divorcelawyer.com TV or whatever than do lawyer. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. I mean, and all industries over time get more and more segmented anyway. I mean, you know, it's like if you wanted to buy sunglasses 10 years ago or 12 years ago, you went to a department store. Now there are stores just for sunglasses. If you wanted your oil changed, you used to go to a garage. Now there are just oil changing stores, right? Like, so everything over time.
That is such a great point, and it's going to continue to get even more niche-y. It really is.
Now, do you ever get concerned about that, that, like, you know, that other people could rise to the top and become, like, in each niche of type of wine? Or is it that there, you know, for so many people, wine is just wine, and so it's never going to be an issue of, like, well, I really like Merlot, so I'm going to watch the Merlot guy?
You know what? If the Merlot guy is great and putting out good content and taking care of viewers, then he should win. And I'm really not concerned about anybody but myself. And, you know, as long as I'm putting out good content and taking care of my viewers and keeping them happy, then I feel that I will continue to grow, and my viewers will benefit from that. So, you know, if somebody else there can do a better job and can take care of the audience, then God bless them. I think that there's enough room really for a lot of people in the genre. And, you know, if I see things are not going in the right direction and people want something else, then it's up to me to evolve.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
To evolve and change and help people, you know, get what they want. So I just think that there's so much opportunity, so many different ways of, I guess, slicing the apple.
Right.
That I think that, you know, it's not a process that even goes through my mindset, to be honest with you.
And that's a great answer because, you know, I mean, scarcity-minded people generally don't get very far. Let's talk about content just for a second more because, you know, with my content, what I try and do, like, well, I really believe that, like, you know, Thoreau was right when he said, like, you know, most people lead lives of quiet desperation, that, you know, most people's lives, they're pretty boring, they're not too happy about it, and they're looking for more interesting stuff. And so even with my, you know, content, which, you know, well, both of our content, you know, I'm talking about how to build a business, you're talking about wine, you know, these can end up being dry, even if you're giving really good content. You know, so what I always look for is I look for a controversial kind of hook or something that's brand new, so that there's a, it's bigger than just like, oh, this is really good, like it's revolutionary, or this flies in the face of everything that I've just been taught. You know, with you, how do you see that? Like, how do you see, you know, I think yours is more built around entertainment, but I'd love to hear your opinion about that, so that people could just see that there's many different ways that they can go about creating content, but it's not just about having great content. It has to actually be a little bit more than that.
I think you're right, and I got very lucky because I'm a young man in a wine industry that's not, you know, you turn on Wine Library TV and the first thing you see is I have a Jets spit bucket and I have 1980s action figures sitting on my table, and this is about wine, and I think that really does give me that edge that I think is, you always need a little secret sauce. But let's be honest, I mean, you know, there's a lot of people winning. I mean, somehow in this world, people find Jay Leno entertaining. I mean, I don't understand that whatsoever. So I think, I really do think that you can win on just pure content. But
yeah,
what I think you're talking about is really winning, like home runs. And
right,
I think without the it factor, without the special sauce, you're definitely not going to reach really scary levels of accomplishments. I also believe that you need to be yourself. And so, you know, I think that if somebody who's listening right now says, yeah, Rich is right, and so what I'm going to do is I'm going to be a lawyer, but I'm going to wear a jumpsuit or dress up like MC Hammer or whatever the heck they're thinking, if that's not really them, they're dead, you know?
Right.
And so, you know, listen, I know that I lose certain people who watch Wine Library TV because they're not excited that I come from an East Coast kind of angle and that I talk about Jets football. And, you know, sometimes it takes 9 minutes before I even get into the wines. And I'm very aware that the drop-off ratio is very high at some level because of that. But if I start to deviate from who I am, I'm going to lose so much more. So I think that, you know, you've got to be aware of marketing and pizzazz and getting people excited, but at the same token, you've got to be very concerned not to do something for the sake of doing it to create a buzz or a different angle. So think very carefully. I think every person is multidimensional. Not every, you know, I mean, we've all got different things going on in our lives. So think about your niche, think about attacking that, and then think about the biggest contradiction to that niche that represents who you are. So maybe you're a big corporate lawyer, but ironically, your most passionate thing is you know, being green or you know, anything that kind of contradicts. You're a foodie and you're a great chef and you're a chef at a top restaurant, but your favorite meal in the world is White Castle sliders. And so, you know, interject where you contradict, and I think you can win very big in that kind of angle.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you know, it's just that I guess it's more obvious in my industry because, like, you know, there's so much information out there. And so I've seen people write, like, great reports, per se, but they get no momentum behind it. And I think it's, like, one of the reasons.
Well, let's not confuse one thing. There is one. Listen, no matter how great you are, and of course I'm screaming and yelling, put out great content, there's always some form of marketing and promotion that needs to be done. You've got to get out there because I agree with you. There's great stuff, but you know, if you don't know how to get people excited or you know, but you know what, Rich, I think you're talking about great reports, but you know what? It didn't connect. Even though the content was amazing, it didn't empower you or enthrall you or connect you, you know?
Right. That's true.
Or you know what I mean? I mean, you're like,
yeah,
wow. And what's really funny is guys like yourself then can take that information, learn, and you know, there is a connecting value. I mean, listen, if you're not somebody who connects, think about your life. If people want to be around you, if you're the kind of person, guy or girl that, you know, makes jokes and people like it and you grab attention and you're going to win all the time because there's an internal energy. But, you know, at the same token, if you're not that person, it doesn't, you know, whereas in the past, you would never have been recognized because talent agents and people that are going to look for that are going to find the people that, you know, have the whole room in their hand. In today's world, you can still win. It's just you've got to open yourself up as much as you can. It's just a very important part.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, well, there's a concept I don't know if you're familiar with this, but it's a cool concept, because if you really want to get that, like, viral kind of nature going, like, one of the things to always think about is social currency. Like, can you, in your content, can you provide something that makes interesting, smarter, you know, et cetera?
Are you referring to Tara Hunt? And social, she's very high on social currency. I mean, yeah, I mean, you know, I agree with that process 1,000,000,000%. The people that are listening to this, if you're deciding to go into some sort of Maven-driven concept, you need to understand the day you start this process, it is no longer about you whatsoever. Though you will be getting all the attention, though you will be getting all the accolades, you know, there's been blog posts in the last month written, I want to be Gary Vaynerchuk. I love Gary Vaynerchuk. From very important web, you know, Chris Brogans, Jim Kirkles, these guys, I mean, very flattering stuff, but what I never lose sight of is the day you become, like you brand it, a maven,
right,
you are now 150,000,000,000,000% all about one thing, your audience. It's all about them. Everything you do, breathe, think, sleep, drink, and even randomly think about for a hundredth of a second needs to be how and in which way and how much you're going to help your audience. I put on shows that I definitely only put out because I want to benefit the common wine drinker. I taste wines from Trader Joe's Two Buck Chuck because I know that's what they want to see reviews on. I just did a show on Costco's Kirkland brand because I know that's what they want. I am single-handedly 150,000% only worried about my audience. And all the, you know, big accolades and front page of the Wall Street Journal, it comes along with it, and it's great, and you can very much get caught up in it because, you know, getting recognized in the street has been crazy. But the reality situation is from the second I wake up to the second I go to sleep, my entire process is how do I put out content in an entertaining, enlightening, and happy way that will benefit the person who watches this. The end.
Yeah, no, I mean, I just think that's so dead on. I mean, I wrote this whole section in the doctrine just about how, like, in the past, like, marketers could just say their message often and loud enough, and, like, that would be your positioning, your branding, and stuff like that. Nowadays, that's not going to work. You know, all of that stuff resides in the conversation that's happening outside your business, in the market, in your customers, in your prospects, et cetera. And so if you're not focused on that and you're not focused on delivering to them, then what they're going to probably say about you isn't going to be so great.
What? Amen.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just, you know, you are, when you go into the content providing business, if you've got any thoughts of caring about what it's going to do for you, you've already lost.
That's a great point. That's a really good point. Now, you knew wine before you knew, let's say, social media and Web 2.0 stuff, correct?
Yeah.
And that's kind of a given. You have to have your chops in whatever it is you're talking about before you go broadcasting to the world.
Thank God. If I understood where the web world was going and then decided and then started searching Google keyword tools to figure out what is the most searched thing and then said, okay, great, everybody loves gossip, and became a gossip video blogger and became Perez Hilton's arch enemy, I would have been out of business in 13 seconds. I mean, you've got to be the champion of your domain. And, you know, if I didn't grow up if the wine wasn't going to be it, I would probably be today, if I kept on the road, if I didn't have a family industry, I'd probably be today's most famous video blogger about sports memorabilia.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got to be who you are. And so that is the biggest thing. But I really hope people realize, you know, I can see somebody right now who's an accountant sitting there like, yeah, but how many people want to watch a video blog about an accountant? Now, remember, Mr. or Mrs. Accountant person that's listening right now, maybe you are the best grower of tulips in the entire neighborhood, or your spaghetti is the greatest spaghetti ever made. You have things to share with the world that may not be your active career right now. And you know what? In a lot of ways, I'm very lucky. You're very lucky. We're doing what we love. But there's a lot of people who don't. But on the side, boy, do they love boating or fishing. Do it on that, because when you make your passion your job, you've already won regardless of the compensation that comes along with it.
Yeah, and the big secret is that actually the money does come if you just focus on what you love. Because, I mean, you know, the whole long tail thing, the whole wired world, I mean, there's just so many people online that – even the most random, most obscure type of stuff can develop a
problem. If you're the biggest expert on redheaded hamsters in the world, then you need to do it about that. Because I promise you, you will be shocked how many redheaded hamster people are going to love you for the rest of your life.
Yeah, I think I wrote a post or I had in an older report. Just I used attack gerbils, same concept.
That's funny. That's it.
So let me ask you this, because you're probably even a lot more knowledgeable than I am about social media, and so I'm just curious. Like, how did that education take place? How long did it take you? How did you really master this stuff? I mean,
I was very fortunate because in 2001 I hired a developer by the name of Eric Kastner, who also wrote the Spell with Flickr application that got very popular after Flickr launched, and he was just very, very knowledgeable about web industry, and as Web 2.0 started forming in 01 or 02 or 03, whatever the rule is for that lame term anyway. But,
right.
He sat next to me in my office, and I would slowly but surely, I remember when he made me use Google instead of Yahoo, and I was mad, slowly but surely, I was paying attention. But then I really feel like when video started really in late, as funny as it sounds, I had a very good base through 2004, 2005, but I would say it's really quite scary how much I've learned. And because here's what I did. To back up a step, in basically since November of 2005, I just put my head down and decided I was going to live, breathe, and eat this entire media. So, it's just homework city for the last, 2 years, all the way. But you can't just read it. You got to breathe it and you got to live it. And so that was great because then I started Wine Library TV right away. So I kind of lived it along the way. So all these great people that when I first started reading about, the web world, like O. Malik and Michael Arrington and Robert Scoble and all these guys, Kevin Rose, it's just fun for me to, interact with them these days. And, I think I was more excited to be on the Giga Ohm show, the O. Malik show on Revision 3 than I was to be on Ellen DeGeneres,
Right.
So I would say the last 2 years, is when I really started really understanding. And I think you've got to read smart people. The blogs are great. You can learn so much. But I think it's also, it's also your genetics. Fundamentally, I'm a dude, and I love people. And so, my mom did a great job. So that's what this movement's about right now. It's a very goody-two-shoes, good concept world. You can't do any – as a marketer and as a entrepreneur, back in the day I was very much into, whatever tactic it took to sell wine, right?
Right.
That's a trait and that's a skill, I guess, right, a salesman skill. But at the core of who I am, I love people and I like – having friends and I like being good and I'm all about karma. Well, that's just completely right up the Web 2.0 alley. And that has given me, this mentality of this industry just fits me like a glove. And I think that's important. I think a lot of people who are going to chase the Web 2.0 dream, if you're not that kind of mentality of a person, if you're a loner, you need to adjust and make it work for you. That doesn't mean you can't win in this genre. You need to maybe talk about being a loner. If I was a loner, I would come out with a blog called The One Man Show. And I don't like you, but this is why, and this is how I think. And, you'd be stunned how anti-figure of this industry. You'd probably become the most famous guy in the Web 2.0 world.
Yeah.
So there's just so many opportunities, but you've got to cater it and fit it around your body.
I agree 100%. But let's just dive a little bit deeper in this because I think, for a lot of the people that are going to be listening to this, they probably have studied marketing and they probably know marketing backwards and forwards. And, in Web 2.0 world, marketers aren't, I have this whole little section that you're like the most you're the most disliked person on the planet. Like, people don't trust you. They don't want to know about you. Because they know what's coming.
However, I am probably – here's where I'm going to get myself in a lot of trouble and everybody's going to hate me. I was nice up to this point. I feel genetically,
right.
I am the most marketed-driven person on this earth. When I was 5 years old, I had 7 lemonade stands, and they weren't lemonade stand 25 cents. They were Gary's lemonade stands. I have been born to be a marketer. I love marketing. I honestly believe if I stopped doing everything I did now and created a marketing company and consulted, because I get 50 emails a day for people that want me to do this, that financially I would make the most money for myself. I feel that I could run a $100 million a year marketing company and turn around every single business that I do business that I would do business with in 2 seconds. So here's what I mean by that. Even though you're 1,000,000,000% right that marketers are the most hated, if you embrace and not fight, don't say all these hippie Web 2.0 techie geeks are idiots, I'm a marketing guru and I went to Harvard, I'll show them, you've lost.
Right.
But if you embrace the movement and understand what makes people happy about this and readjust and Plato yourself, reform, right?
Right.
Silly putty yourself, reform yourself. Well, then, my friend, you become the biggest hero within this industry. I mean, a lot of my success, I'm very lucky in a lot of ways, but I am not confused that my marketing skills and savvy have also helped me in a very big way to get this attention.
Sure.
And so if you're a marketing person, what you have to do is get the hell out of your old marketing gig if it looks to manipulate or pay bloggers for posting stuff or try to use all tactics that made sense back in the day, and you need to delve in, take a 3 month, you know, after work if you can't afford it, and just start reading blogs, reading Technorati's top 1,000 people, pay attention to what people are reading. You know, that was the first thing I did. I didn't know. So I went to Technorati and figured out who the biggest, and I was like, wow, people love politics. I wish, as much as I love politics, I wish I was a little stronger in it because that would be cool. There's a lot of political blogs doing well. And then I was like, oh, wow, gossip. Well, another thing, believe it or not, I hate I'm going to say this out loud. I like the gossip stuff, right? But again, not super strong enough. But what I did was I did my homework. You know, maybe there was a wine person that was already exactly like me. And, you know, that would have been tough. I probably would have challenged them head on because that's my kind of way. But, you know, you got to do your homework. I think that's super imperative. But if you're a marketing person, I honestly believe that you've got a major, major, major head up, because a lot of people that do go into the Web 2.0 world, they do go into this industry because they are artistic and they do believe with their heart and soul about helping people and doing stuff, and I do too, and you're going to win. However, if you come into that and you're not a marketer, if you're a coder, so many people in the industry are actually tech coders.
Right.
And then they have a business partner, which a lot of times is a very average business or marketing person, right?
Right.
It's the friend of this coder. Well, that person's not able to take things to the next level. If you're a marketing person, you've got that kind of skill, and you're a top marketer, you just need to – what you need to do is get off your goddamn high horse and saying, I'm a marketer. I know these dumb kids. Okay, yeah, well, there's one Facebook. Big deal. No, no. This is where the world's going. Embrace it. Don't get mad. Listen, don't be 40 and acting 100 and acting like you can't readjust. You can. Readjust, attack. And guess what? I honestly think that it's funny that a lot of people feel like marketers are big trouble. I actually think, you know, not big trouble, but definitely an anti in this industry. You just can't use what you used before. You can't go to a tech convention and be like, hey, man, if I give you $500, will you talk about my company? You're now dead for life.
Yeah.
You're dead for life. I mean, it's over. I mean, you've got to understand that you've got to be, A, number one, part of the community. You know, B, you've got to bring value. You can't just come with money or, you know, you've got to bring value. You help people. Do the right thing. It's a very, very zen. I think I'm sure there'll be somebody's going to market zen marketing, you know. It's
right.
Do the right things but still be a marketer, and you will be downright disgusted. I'll give you a great example. I spent $10 million in marketing winelibrary.com from 1997 to 2006. Between Google AdWords, New York Times, Wine Spectator, billboards on the highway, radio, catalogs, over $10 million. It's how I built my family business, through marketing. Well, in the less than 2 years that Wine Library TV has been out, Wine Library TV dramatically rates higher on Google than winelibrary.com. I get far more press for Wine Library TV than I do for winelibrary.com. Remember, guys, now this is the key. I was the best wine shop in America with winelibrary.com. So don't get mixed up. Don't be like, well, that makes sense. This was the best wine store. I mean, we had the best prices. We have a 40,000-square-foot store. We were at the top of our game. I was named Wine Retailer of the Year by MarketWatch, Wine Spectator's industry side of it, at 27 years old. I mean, youngest by 15 years. All that kind of crazy shit. Yet, Nobody wanted to talk about that because what was I doing? I was kind of selling stuff. Yes, I was helping people because I was getting much better pricing. It wasn't enough. I became a content maven, and my whole life changed. In two years.
I'm so glad you said
that's crazy to me. That's absolutely – everybody who's listening right now wouldn't believe it because guess what? I wouldn't have believed it.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't have either. And actually, I write about this in the report. Like, I didn't start making the kind of money I make today until actually I stopped SEO, I stopped pay-per-click. I mean, our company does it now. But I just focused on writing these reports that delivered immense value. And when I started writing these reports, like, the whole concept in the back of my mind was, is like, okay, people's attention is getting scarce. So your marketing in and of itself has to provide value. And if your marketing doesn't provide value, then – like, whether you make that sale today or not is really kind of irrelevant because what you're much more concerned about is, are they going to pay attention to your marketing in the future? And they're only going to pay attention to your marketing in the future if every time they walk away from something of your marketing, they feel like they got a good deal, whether they bought or don't buy. So, like, for me, my biggest concern is when people read my reports or watch my videos that I've created, like, it's not whether they bought or not. It's whether they felt like it was worth their time, because if it was worth their time, then the next time I have something to market, I'll also get their attention. And if I don't, then, you know, I've lost that person. I won't be able to get to them again because, like, they'll say, well, you know, I read that report and it was a waste of time. Then there is no reason to read the next report. And so it's so important that your marketing actually give value.
Why do people love marketing with you know, commercials that make you laugh? Why do people love that? I'm going to tell you right now why they do. Because they got something extra.
Right.
They laughed. You made them laugh. That was added value. Right?
Yeah, actually, yeah, well, it's one, you know, it's interesting that you say that because one of the things that, you know, I really tried to think about, like, have any companies even established themselves as a brand in the last 10 years through advertising? And for the longest time, I couldn't think of any. And you know, because, like, but there were so many brands like Starbucks, Google, that all that were established without advertising. But the only company that actually I could come up with was Geico. Geico is the only company that I could think of that really branded themselves and put themselves on the map through advertising, and it's exactly because of that.
Well, that's because they gave you Mickey Mouse, right?
Yeah.
They gave you a character that you could go around the Geico, and they gave you value because they made you laugh and think. And I think Aflac at some level did some good work with that as well. But, you know, I think the reason we like commercials that make us laugh and why almost every commercial during the Super Bowl has got to be funny is because that gave you something extra. Now, I think being funny is not going to be enough anymore. I'm more in agreement with you, which is that your marketing, if it doesn't provide content value, things that actually really, really bring value to you, like you learned something, I think that it's going to get harder and harder because people – and it's just amazing watching the 14 and 17 and 19-year-olds of this country. They're looking for stuff to teach. They're going to be a lot – you know, it's really funny. I think a lot of people think that everybody's dumbing down, and because we're using AIM and Instant Messenger and texting and nobody spells right anymore and everything's abbreviations.
Right.
I'm going to tell you right now, your kids and grandkids are going to know a hell of a lot more about a hell of a lot of different areas than you ever could have hoped, because the amount of information that's being put out there today that is at their fingertips, God forbid I had the internet when I was in high school, I would know so much more about wine than I already know. I'm almost kind of happy because I think I would have known an unhealthy amount because I was so focused on that. And so the world's changing. People are fiending for knowledge and information and entertainment. You know what? Let's be honest. Think about the evolution of retail, right? At first, customer service was not even a factor, right? Price. And remember when you used to pay for gift wrapping? Now it's free, right? Or people taking things to your car, and now we want it delivered. Then the internet came and you got packages. Now that's great. Well, guess what? If anybody thinks that not every single retailer is going to be offering free shipping all the time and that's going to be part of the cost of goods, well, then you're not paying attention to where the world's going. The consumer will always want more. And that's where it's going, and the consumer expects more. And if you're not putting out more and giving away more free information and making them laugh and teaching them something and giving them a value and making them think that this was really, really worth my time, well, guess what? You're going to come in second, third, or 100th place because whoever's giving the most is going to come in first.
Yeah, I agree, and I think you're dead on. And that's why, like, gaming the system just ain't going to work because it's like you just you get exposed earlier and earlier on now. Because
oh, absolutely. All that stuff is detrimental. And you know what? Being the first result on Google for something that when they land doesn't provide them any reason to stay – is really irrelevant as well. So great, you have the best location in Manhattan, right? I don't understand how people don't understand this. It all comes down to basics. Oh, I want to be the first result on Google. Great. I want to have a store in Times Square, right? A billion people are going to walk in. Great. But if they walk in and you suck, you lost.
Yeah, you know, it's actually funny that you say that, because this whole concept of changing from a marketer to a maven is like, when I first got online, I really considered myself an internet marketer. And then I started thinking about, like, how ridiculous that is. Because when I owned my, you know, the clothing stores, like, I never thought of myself as a foot traffic specialist. I thought of myself as a retailer, which meant, like, my store had to be sensational when you went inside.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
And it's the same exact concept. Like, you can't think of yourself as an internet marketer. You need to think about, like, whatever it is that you actually are doing. It's like Get inside the box, not outside the box.
Exactly. I have put out 360 shows, and you know the thing that scares the crap out of me most is I know 20 of them weren't super A pluses. Everything else was. But 20 of them between, you know, maybe my grandma wasn't feeling well or something bad happened to business or, you know, the weather just brought me down. 20 of them kind of were like meh. You know what I mean?
Sure.
You know, and, you know, which is a really great percentage. I'm proud that it's only 20. But every day I'm scared that people are landing on those 20 because, you know what I mean?
And amen, so brother. Yeah, I mean, like, I'm fortunate because, like, I just take my reports off the market when I don't like them.
Sure. You know, I don't feel like taking them off. You know, people are going to say, what happened? And,
yeah.
And I'm such a perfectionist. That, you know, the ones I hate the most, it's ironic. I was reading the comments, the 80 to 150 comments. By the way, I never mentioned, I'm up to 200-300 comments per episode now. The interaction's amazing, but, and that's 5 days a week for a 20-minute video. I mean, it's scary. I mean, people email me every day and say, somebody emailed me yesterday and said, Gary, the place in my heart that was occupied by Grey's Anatomy has been replaced by Wine Library TV. Because I could only be a one-watcher kind of person, and it's the only thing I watch now. I mean, that's insane to me.
That's awesome.
I don't know what else to say. So anyway, the funny part is, of those 20 episodes, when I read the comments, they're all so positive. I'm like, Gary, get off your mentality. You know, but that's how you have to be. You have to be so passionate for perfection and giving people what you really feel is your A-plus, triple-plus. Otherwise, anything short of that is an opportunity for somebody to see you in an area or in a moment that's not going to connect and not allow you to move on and build what you're trying to build.
Yeah, I agree. You know, actually, I want to... There's one last question I want to ask you, but just
related
to that, I just wanted to say something because I was listening to a tape program the other day, and I just thought it was so dead on what the person had to say. And what this person was talking about was that you have to have high ideals. You have to have something that you're shooting for that's absolutely spectacular. But what you have to realize is that that's the ideal. That's not the goal. And so when you achieve a certain level of success, the people that are super successful, what they do is – they don't compare where they get to their ideal. The ideal is just where they're focused towards. To be happy and to be excited about what you're accomplishing, you have to look backwards to where you were. And as long as you're like, you make that leap and you look backwards to feel good about yourself, then, you know, you can keep that excitement going. If you're always comparing where you are, like, to the perfect show, then it's very hard to stay excited about each show. But if you think about, like, the shows that you first started with and you compare it to those, then, you know, you can always raise the bar because you're evolving as a person, you're evolving as a marketer, and you're evolving as an expert in your field. And so it just becomes a lot easier to maintain that momentum, I think. I thought it was a great point that person had to make.
Well, what I think is great is that anybody who's listening now who we maybe are opening their minds and are going to embrace this opportunity and are going to start a blog or a video blog or an audio podcast or whatever the heck they may do. It might not even be an online technology-driven thing. They might have courses in their store or in their office. I mean, what about a lawyer holding courses for up-and-coming law students in his office, right, or her office? Pretty cool. I mean, there's a lot of different ways to cut it. Obviously, using technology to get the biggest audience is exciting. I just want to say one thing. There's no doubt in my mind. I've been offered over 30 television program opportunities by producers and, you know, the food networks and all this stuff, right? Everybody wants to pitch me, and I've got a lot of opportunity. And maybe one day HBO comes calling or Bravo, and it becomes such a deal that I might have to even look at it. One thing that everybody knows that's involved around me right now in that world is that I will never give up Wine Library TV. I'll always do it. So if I'm an HBO show, I'm still going to do 5 days a week of Wine Library TV. Now, maybe I'll have to do it from the set or wherever, but I'm doing it. And so you've got to be passionate and love what you do because that's what will make you do that, and then that is obviously a very good thing. But the point I want to make with this is I will never be happier than I was in those first 30 episodes, because in my own mind, I knew where this was going,
mm-hmm.
and nobody else did. And you know what? When you embrace that feeling, it's the best feeling in the world. You know, after I started getting accolades, well, now everybody emails me, Gary, I predict you'll be on the Food Network. Well, no shit, Sherlock, but, you know, but it was way cooler and way more exciting when it was in my own mind, in my own belly, and even though my mom and dad and wife, and they all think, you know, I can do anything, and people around me, you know, I could still see that 1% of doubt in their eyes, but not in mine. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
In mine, it was, this is awesome, and I can't wait to, you know, oh, cool, I got three, you know, growing is so fun. Oh, I got three comments. Oh, I got seven comments. Oh, a blogger wrote about me. I mean, the days of some random wine blogger mentioning my show was so much more exciting in some ways than when New York Times mentions me now, you know?
Right.
You know, embrace those early years. Don't look at that as, oh, I got to go through the shit for a year to get to where I want to. Heck no. That year is the best part. That's the part where you've established, where you went internal, where, you know, where you believed that nobody else did, and it's just such a fun thing to, you know, be me versus the world kind of mentality, especially when you know you're going to win. And the only way you're going to know if you win, the only way you're going to know the way I just expressed I felt, is if you're doing something that you believe in more than anything else in the world. And that's why I'm so desperate for people to focus on things that are so passionate to them.
Yeah, you know, it's just dead on. I mean, you're so right. I mean, and it's yeah, I can't even, just like, that's exactly it. And just by the way, like, before I ask you this last question, because it's just like my ADD kicking in, who wrote the piece about you in the Wall Street Journal? Was it Wendy Bounds?
It was Vanessa something.
I was just curious, because, when I was in the Wall Street Journal front page, same deal, like, when I did the stores, and it was, I mean, it was really exciting, and you know, but it's just, I find this a lot more exciting, because, yeah, there's just that organic sense of really, resonating or not.
I'm sorry to interrupt. I hope everybody listening understands one thing. Let me make a statement that I hope sits in your head all day. I would much rather be on the front page of Dig.com or on the front page of, or be one of the highest results on StumbleUpon.
Right.
Right now, than to be on the front page of the Wall Street Journal or New York Times.
Yeah, because that's where it's headed anyway. So it's like, you know, it actually has more impact, but it's also much bigger of a, it really shows that the market is in line with what you're thinking, as opposed to, you know,
nope.
Single individual editor. At least to me, that's what.
Nobody loves to bask in the glory of, like, success. It's so much fun, right? But there is more value today to be recognized in some of these Web 2.0 forums for your brand. Listen, a lot of people listening now want to make money or build brand or build businesses. Let me tell you something. And nobody, I came from the old world of brick and mortar retail to this world. I'm telling you right now, the fact that you want to be on the front page of Dig or be reviewed on TechCrunch or be part, you know, or on GigaOM or on ReadWriteWeb, Center Networks. I mean, these kind of sites, if you'd rather be on that than be on the front page of the New York Times, you have to understand where the world is going, coming from a guy who understands the impact of both.
Right. Yeah, I agree. I mean, and that's my last question to you, just is, want, like, because, like, you know, I'm a pro at teaching people, like, about this kind of stuff. And there's a big difference between someone like me and someone like you, where you had to master all that stuff to get to where you are today. So I'd just love you to talk about, like, if you were giving advice to, like, a cousin or, you know, not your brother, because your brother's maybe too close to you, like, you know, but, like, if you were giving advice to your cousin, like, about how to really learn social media, what would you tell him? Like, the top, like, tell him, like, the five steps that you would tell him to master it, because I think that'll give people tremendous value.
Step number one, make sure you want to learn it. If you don't, if you're just doing it because we're talking about it right now or you read about it somewhere else and you're like, oh, I better learn about this, stop. You're wasting your time. Go back to doing whatever the heck you're doing. You have to want it. That is the far most important first step. Number two, now that you want it, spend every living second that you possibly can on it. People have families. You have a job that you have to maintain as well. I'm not confused. But do not watch the big game. Do not watch your favorite show. Do not, you know, go to the bar and drink a couple of brews with your friends. You have to jump in head first and read all the blogs that mean something. I would recommend going to Google Blog Search or Technorati and just getting the ranked, seeing the ones that have authority. You know, it's very easy to find out which blogs mean something. Read Fast Company, you know, things like that. Three, once you've started kind of this process, number three, put your toe in the pool. You know, get involved. Maybe leave a comment on a dig story that made front page. Maybe leave a comment on somebody's blog post. Dip your toe in, see what it means. Because, you know, it's kind of funny, right, Rich? I mean, you leave a comment and then somebody emails you back and you're like, whoa, there's people out here. You know, so, you know, you dip your toe in and you start off slow. Number four, humble yourself. I was a kid that had enormous press my whole life for building this large business from a family local store, AP Press, all that. When I got into social media, I was the low of the low. I didn't walk in there and say, do you know who I am? Do you know what I did? Did you know how I did it? Nobody cares. It's a different game. If you're the best basketball player in the world, you're playing hockey now. So shut your trap and put on your skates. And number five, whatever you decide to do with it, or, you know, really, and maybe 5X is one in a weird way. I always flip 5 and 1. Try to figure out what the heck you want to do with this. You know, I mean, you've got to know what you want to accomplish. So if you want to be a speaker, you know, or an expert in your genre, decide what that is. You have to know who you are, right? I mean, you know what? I said something to somebody that was close to me. Said, Gary, you know, long ago, he said, Gary, you're going to be so rich. You're going to change so much. And I said, you know, I said, listen, money and success and fame, it only does one thing. It only accelerates who you are. It doesn't change you. So if you're bad, you're going to get real bad. And if you're great, you're going to be real great. And so, you know, you've got to really decide what you want to accomplish and where you want to take it, because you are now, if you're going to get involved in social media, you are now overnight going to create your persona for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Because once you put yourself out there, that's, you are now branding yourself to the world for the rest of eternity. The first thing you put out there is being indexed by every search engine, and your great, great, great grandkids are going to read it. So think about who you want to be and what you want to accomplish.
Yeah, I can't agree with you anymore. Like, I mean, that's such a big point, especially that last point. That, you know, just, yeah, I mean, it's
permanent. You know, it's kind of funny what you were saying. You know, you're an expert, I'm a teacher. It's funny. I actually feel that a lot of reasons my show has done real well is that at some level, as much as I'm into being a wine expert, I really do love to teach, preach. You know, everybody, you know how many people tell me, I probably get a good 15 to 20 emails a week saying, you scare me, dude. I think you could really be a cult leader. You know, I really like talking about what's positive. And I look at it a little bit grander than details. I think this is very basic, you know, happiness, good, bad, you know, good for your soul kind of stuff. And so, you know, you got to work hard. That nobody you know is successful, from Michael Jordan to Mark Cuban to Donald Trump to all the, you know, whatever. Everybody works hard. You got to work hard. But there's a lot of people who work hard that don't achieve the same things. And the reason they don't is because they're not listening to their inner voice. Listen to your voice, embrace it, and execute. And execute what you can afford. Don't quit your job. Just work on it when you can. And then maybe, and then almost definitely, you will be very easily able to quit your job a lot sooner than you ever could have imagined.
Hear, hear. I agree. The okay, so just to wrap this up, what if people want to follow you and just, like, you know, learn more about, like, which I strongly suggest everybody who's listening to this, I mean, even if you're not interested in wine, if you're interested in growing a business, you know, you couldn't look for a better model. That's why we're on the phone. Where can they just, you know, just say, spell it,
yep,
like all that kind
sure
of stuff, so that it's,
well,
really clear for people?
WineLibraryTV.com is where I do my daily show. And because I feel like I've got a lot to say in other areas, I've started GaryVaynerchuk.com, which is VaynerChuk, where I'm video blogging. I'm calling them my 120s. Because Wine Library is so long, these are actually short, only two-minute little shots of my thoughts on different subject matters, a lot to do with technology and business. And I got a lot of hate mail for saying Joe Torre wasn't that great, and everybody got all bent out of shape. So those are really the two places. And then obviously, if you go to WineLibraryTV.com, on the right-hand side, you'll see that I've got about 6 or 7 badges to friend me up on various different social networks that I think that people can, you know, get involved. And listen, what I do for a living is put out a wine show on the Internet and answer thousands of emails a day. So I don't mind for a couple more thousand. So I'd be more than happy to – I'm a real – you know – you know, you put into things, and then you get so much more in return. So obviously, I'm more than willing to be there for people. And so, you know, heck, you can email me at GaryV@winelibrary.com, and I'll help you as much as I possibly can. Just keep in mind, I barely sleep, so anything, you know, give me a couple days.
Not.
I really don't. But you know, you don't sleep, as you know, when you love it, right? When you don't love it, you sleep. When you don't love it, you sleep all day.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, tearing myself away sometimes is so hard that, yeah, I go days without sleep sometimes, and people sometimes, like, question, you know, how good are you if you have to do that? But it's not a question of have to. It's a question of, like...
Of want to.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're in love. Yep.
Yeah.
This is great. This is great. I mean, I really, really feel passionate about this, and I know you do, and I'm really excited to be any kind of, you know, help to get people to see things in a different way, because, boy... This is the gold rush of our generation, and the opportunity to brand yourself in whatever niche you want to and become a maven is so scary obvious. It's just you'll regret when you see somebody who's not as good as you in your genre capitalizing and becoming the expert. You'll regret it so much. You will.
Yeah, and what's so great about it is that the way you get to the top is by doing good things, which is so different than any other time.
Correct.
And,
I mean,
you know,
all the other times it was to do bad things that were kind of good and smart. You know, I mean, just it makes sense. And that's because privacy is gone. And
yep.
If you don't realize that, then you haven't been paying attention to what's gone on in the last 8 years.
Well, this has been great. I really appreciate you taking the time. It's been
my pleasure.
I learned a lot. I hope, and I know, well, I don't even hope. I know that anybody who was paying attention learned a lot. And, yeah, I mean, just props to you, man. You know, you're doing an awesome job, and your show's really entertaining. I like, my palate is so unsophisticated. Mad Dog 2020 tastes the same to me.
That's fine.
Merlot,
but
I've enjoyed
but you
watching your show as I got educated about you, just because, like, yeah, you're a really entertaining guy, and you make the whole experience fun and entertaining while you're providing that value. And so, yeah, you're doing great. You don't need to hear that from me, I know, but you'll go further, faster, farther, just by doing exactly what you're doing, and props to you, man.
I appreciate it. I want to wish everybody who's listening to this a great holidays and health. You know, my little secret, if anybody really wants to know, before I think about anything, I think about the health of my friends and family and myself, and then everything seems to get very easy after you only care about that. So keep that in mind. It's a bigger weapon than I think people realize.
You're here. Cool.
All right.
Well, thanks a lot.
Thank you.